Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it's all about, like, wow!
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. You have turned into the place to where you can hear wrestling news and also deal with the man that has the itis right now after eating some ribs. Yes, this is this is the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind Bob Rogers, victim of the itis because these ribs are good. Oh, my God, my lips. Oh, my lips hasn't danced as much in a long time. With me is my co-host, first off, from Chicago, Illinois. He is a wrestling fan, a very intelligent wrestling fan that is. Has a lot of good viewpoints, things of that nature. Welcome, Marvelous Marcus Beckley. Marcus, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Chilling. Also, on deck, we got the man, the crazy one. He is from Chicago, Illinois, by way of Chicago, Illinois, in Indianapolis, Indiana right now. He is the president and founder of the MSG Wrestling Board. Check it out on Facebook. A lot of good wrestling discussion on there. Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
The itis, that's what's going on.
Yeah. Ready to get this going. This is going to be a fun show today.
Oh, yeah. And last but not least, your not-so-humble correspondent. He's on IWTV. He's on Fight TV. He's also on Black and White. If you hear his voice and you see some weird things going on, it is. God, I love this dude. It is Robert Black. Robert, what's going on?
Oh, it's all right. Just sitting here in black and white.
Right.
No, we're all good, and I'm ready to correspond. This it's going to be fun this week. It is every week.
Oh, heck
this
yeah.
is going to be exceptional.
Oh yeah. So we also if you missed it yesterday, we did the launch of our video podcast, all of us got together. We got the licensing for the video podcast, did a little run yesterday, talked about Scott Hall, some other things. I think the video cast is going to go very well. So I'm going to ask all of you guys to go ahead and subscribe to the FTW Network over on Facebook. Just look up the FTW Network on Facebook. Hit that subscribe button. Get all the new videos or whatever that's coming down. Hit that notification so you know the videos are coming down because that's where primarily going to be on that channel now. Also, getting some interviews lined up with some of your favorite independent stars. And also, speaking of the independents, I got a little section today that I'm going to be speaking on the independents that I got to revisit. So, yeah. You know, all the time this week, I'm like, nothing has came up where I have to really do anything. Nothing's came up where I really have to say and be a bad guy. I could be a good guy this weekend. And then
That's
guess
no
what?
Fun.
Last night, somebody had to put their foot in there, so I'm going to have to put my foot in theirs. But we're not going to start it off with that. What we're going to start off with is something that's going to make us cheery. The ROH and AEW thing. Now, a lot of us have read and heard from some of these sources that how can I say this? Tony Khan said that there would not, there was not going to be any type of week to week competitiveness against AEW and ROH except April 1st, and he said that's because they had already predetermined that date. So yeah, he's going to go through with it. He's going to honor it because those guys, and I can't do nothing but commend them for this. Those guys, he's going to honor those guys' wishes because, you know, they got a lot of guys that want to go out there and wrestle and get their stuff on, and they've been going for down for a couple months. My thing is, what's going on with AEW? You've heard the criticisms of AEW. You heard the criticisms of too much goofy stuff, you know, going on. Plus, I don't know if you know this, but they also signed an agreement for DDT over in Japan. Oh, man. You can already tell by my expressions how I'm feeling about this. But do you think they're going to separate it to where it's going to be like Omega and the Young Bucks and that style of wrestling on AEW, and then you got Jon Moxley, Daniel Bryan, and Steven Regal on ROH with that style of wrestling? And then you got people like Punk and Bryan and stuff that can do the crossover with either one. Do you see that happening, or do you think it's just going to be all one big giant cluster? Tony, go first.
Personally, I hope they don't have one style in AEW and one style in ROH. Just for the simple fact, when you watch a show, kind of like to have a variety, you know? Like, some people kind of like the goofiness and everything, you know, the entertainment part, but no, I do like that Daniel Bryan type wrestling, though. I mean, that's the one thing that we don't get in WWE, so it's kind of nice to be able to get that in AEW, though. So it's like, I don't see why you have to have, like, a distinct style, like, okay, you go here, you only get this, and you go here, you only get this, especially in both work. Mix it up. So I really hope that that's not going to be the case.
Marcus, your turn.
Yeah, I agree with Tony. I hope they keep it like that. You know, the main thing I just hope is Tony Khan gives up the book. Then, you know, I just think it'll improve so much.
You just don't want him to book at all, man.
You know, anytime AEW come up, it's like no matter what it is, like Tony Khan don't book.
Right. I'm open to anything. As long as it doesn't involve Tony Khan booking, I'm open to anything.
I can see Marcus, you know, we sit up there. Well, you know, the catering was good. Yeah, they had steak and eggs, but Tony Khan came booked.
But that's pretty much.
What are we gonna do about the Nikita Lyons? Who cares? Tony Khan came booked.
You know, exactly. As long as he's not booking her, she got the shot.
Hulk Hogan's a piece of trash. Yeah, I agree, but Tony Khan came booked. Oh, Rob, what you got on this?
Okay, I agree with Marcus. First of all, he's got the right idea. Tony Khan should not book. I'm on the no booking committee for Tony Khan right there. He should be business and all business and not writing the show. However, I like the idea that ROH is going to be the gateway to the forbidden door here. I just heard not like a couple hours ago about the DDT thing that they've just inked that deal. And as far as I know, Ring of Honor still has a working relationship with Billy Corgan and the NWA. So you've got that going on too. And what we're seeing here is that the anti-WWE conglomeration, that co-op that I've been talking about, and ROH, it looks like it's going to be the linchpin of that. Now, as far as the styles go, what I think is going to happen is that I think that as a businessman, Tony Khan understands the concept that fans of professional wrestling like the grounded authenticity and the organic styles that certain promotions produce. When you're watching Impact, you know it's Impact. They have their own thing going on. Ring of Honor was always a unique product and had its own thing going on. And AEW is kind of an amalgamation of all of those things. Mexico, Japan, independent, and a whole bunch of other styles. I think what's going to happen is that Ring of Honor is basically going to, like they said when they went down for their hiatus, they're going to stay, they're going to revert back to the style that they had back before the Sinclair days. They're going to use, like, uncontracted guys. They're going to bring in what works and cycle through. And it's basically going to be independent wrestling on a bigger scale. And I think if Tony Khan is smart, and I think he is, he's going to keep ROH that way. Now, whether it's going to be a separation between the style of Omega and the Bucks and the style of Punk and Danielson on one side or the other is going to depend on who they get to book either show. I would say that Steve Regal would probably be at his best booking AEW because it needs the more discipline. And then, well, you know my theories about who's going to book ROH, but in essence, ROH needs to be the gateway of the Forbidden Door, and it needs to be the ground zero for independent wrestling transitioning to network wrestling. So that's basically what I think is going to happen. ROH is more or less going to stay the same. It's just they're going to cycle people in and out, and it's going to be the gateway.
Well, let me put my two cents in. How can I say this? I'm kind of opposite on Marcus Buckley on the Tony Khan shouldn't be booking. I think he should. I don't think he has.
Really?
I think he's taken advice of the – I don't think he has. I honestly don't think he has. I think he was taking advice from the Young Clucks and Kenny, I'm going to shake my butt mega, and, you know, was going with what they were saying more instead of paying attention to a lot of the variables. I think since Punk and him got there, he's seen the difference between what Omega's talking about and what Punk and him can do. So now he's seen both sides, and he's like, hold on, wait a minute. This was okay. This was working. Now, he's from the University of Illinois. I'm sorry. I'm partial to that place. My cousin went there. You know, too bad their basketball team can't come up and step up. But, hey, that's another point. My thing
is, university should never be judged by its sports teams. U of I is a real good university that produces real good students. That just because they can't play basketball does not mean you shouldn't overlook
them. Or football.
Hold on. Listen, my cousin got a degree out of there. I was supposed to go there, and I screwed it up. You know what I'm saying? I have nothing but love for the students of the University of Illinois. Let me say that out front. I got a lot of respect for them. It's not like I'm talking about IU, okay?
Let's say Indiana
University, okay?
I went to Indiana State. I got mad respect for them.
But let me say this right quick.
Mm.
We're talking about sports here. We're a sports channel. And that's where I got to direct my thing at. And I'm sorry. U of I screwed up this year. They had the formula. I don't know what happened. They got the LeBron James syndrome. And when it was time to play, they croaked. And I'm sorry. The University of Illinois should have went to the Final Four this year, and they screwed it up.
Well,
and,
that was
– you know, and that's what I was going to say about Tony Khan. Thank God he didn't play for the basketball team. He was on that smart student-type thing, you know, and he has a brain, and he has intelligence, and he can formulate those things to mix and for it to go on. The man, I think the man was into chemistry, you know. So, I mean, he's got the brain to do it. I just think he needs to be introduced and look and see the different sides of it. Now he's going to mesh it into his own. This is what we're going to see what Tony Khan wants, you know. And I think it's going to be interesting except for his and this is why I think everybody's going to harp on this instead of looking at the rest of it, because I think the rest of it is going to be good. But DDT, I'm sorry. I have a problem with those guys. DDT has a character that's a gay Ronald McDonald. Okay?
Oh, God.
DDT did the blow-up doll thing that Twinkle Toes did. You know?
Yeah.
I have a problem with that type of wrestling and that type. Now, I think it's a hit in Japan. But it's not going to be a hit here in America. They're going to judge off of that one section and ruin everything. That's where I have a problem, and that's where I have my worries at. You know how people are on the internet. You know how people are when it comes to fans and they're giving their opinion on stuff, and especially about professional wrestling. If one section is just a little bit off, that whole federation is terrible, unless it's got WWE behind it. Then everybody's on a jockstrap, you know. But anything that's not WWE, they want to down. They want to, and it will lose opportunity for newer fans to say, hey, look at this conglomeration. Let me make my own opinion about it. They're going to get ran off. So even though I think it's kind of cool, I would have been cool. I would have been a little bit better with New Japan Wrestling making that solid commitment than DDT, because New Japan is more serious wrestling federation. But I'm sorry, we already got Pockets. I don't want to see Pockets versus the gay Ronald McDonald. I don't want to see that. And maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
maybe I'm the old guy.
Well, maybe a straight
know.
Ronald McDonald. I might watch that.
Well, I don't even want to see the straight Ronald McDonald. Give me my damn burgers and make the ice cream machine work.
I knew one of the guys that used to be one of the four Ronald McDonalds for the United States. I know an actual Ronald McDonald, a guy that I knew in college was one of the four guys that played Ronald McDonald for the McDonald's franchises in America. So I would
Good
love
Lord.
To see that guy take on Orange Cassidy. That would be funny.
Okay.
For me, but
okay.
not for the rest
well,
of the world.
It'll be better than the Jackass guy taking on same thing. I'm just saying.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, but see, but that's my point. You got Johnny Knoxville over in WWE, and look how he's bringing WrestleMania down. Think about if DDT came with their cast of characters doing that to what people think is a lower federation, and they are very easy to criticize AEW. They're going to sit up there and bury that place to where it can't get off the ground because of stuff like that. And that's my fear. I mean, am I wrong, or am I just, you know, I'm just old? Just let me know.
Well, no, I think it's a legitimate fear, Bobby. And DDT does have a reputation for comedy matches that are downright distasteful. Now,
yes.
I don't think that Tony Khan is dumb enough to take that aspect of DDT and put it front and center. I think what this deal is going to do is like, open the door for some of their more talented individuals to get exposure on worldwide television. I think that's what they're going for, and they may be trying to supplement ROH's talent through it as well, but that remains to be seen. But as far as having people get on Dynamite and wrestle blow-up dolls or nine-year-old girls, I don't think that's going to happen. Tony Khan, as you rightly pointed out, is a very smart businessman and a very capable person. He's managing multi-million-dollar corporations here, and he's being groomed to take over his father's businesses. So I understand what you're afraid of, and I don't want to see it either, especially since I'm the 100% against comedy acts and wrestling guy. But Tony Khan does not strike me as that stupid.
Yeah,
okay.
I think just because he's on Turner Network and have to keep them happy, I think he's going to be very cautious about putting on some of that stuff on Turner.
That's a very good point.
Well, can I ask you guys this, though? I have to go back to a match that I absolutely would have never put on network TV, and he did. And that was the match between Jon Moxley and Becky Addicted Drug
Gage.
Robber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nick Gage.
Yeah.
Now, I know why he did it, and I understood why he did it.
You're right.
Even though I didn't agree with him doing it, because what he was trying to do was see if that would work out on TV. It was an experiment.
Yeah.
He did it as an experiment to see, okay, they didn't like it, don't bring it back like that. You know what I'm saying? We'll do it here. We'll do it in a certain way, but not like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid that experimentation mind that he has would allow one match on TV like that, what DDT does, just to see if it would work in America, and then he could say, okay, I tried it, and I canceled it. Think about it. He went to a scientific school. That's how scientists are. They try stuff to see if it works. If it doesn't work, they don't go back to it. You know what I'm saying? But they want to try it to be proven wrong, prove their hypothesis is wrong. This is the mindset Tony Khan has. That's why a lot of people can't understand him. I understand him. I get him. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, do you think if he did that one match would totally bury anything AEW would try to come up with in the future after that match?
I don't think that's
what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't think it would totally bury it. But just to see this, I mean, you look at all the hell he caught for putting, you know, having Gage use a pizza cutter. Was it right before or after a Domino's commercial or something like that?
Hold on.
But we can't blame him for that because he's not in control of what commercials come on.
Why, you know what I'm saying?
I thought it was funny, though.
Right.
But
I was getting ready to say that was just bad timing for him that the commercial aired right at that point. But I just think that he's really going to be really cautious and careful because he caught such hell from that. But I don't know. I don't think it would bury it. Okay, if that didn't bury it, then I don't think anything for him would totally bury it.
I don't think it would bury it either. It's the same mindset that you had where, like, okay, just going to try it. Let's see what we actually get. If it works, we'll use it. If not, we move forward. Now, what could bury it is, like, he tries it. If he pulls a missing man, like, try to shove it down people's throat, whether they like it or not, that could bury him. But if he just tries it and it don't work and they move on, I don't think they'd bury him.
I don't see Tony Khan as that person, like, man, will try to shove it down anybody's throat. I don't see that. I don't see that part at all either. I see that if he sees it not going to work, again, he's got that scientific mind. Okay, it's been disproven. We don't need to do it no more. You know what I'm saying? But I just got this feeling that people, especially these WWE super fans, the ones that don't care, the ones that are not pro wrestling fans, the ones that are WWE fans. And they will try to use that all day, just belittling AEW to a point.
That's going
to
happen regardless,
yeah.
though. I mean, that's going to happen either way because, I mean, you have, like, your anti-WWE people that's going to, like, latch on and criticize stuff no matter what. And same with your diehard WWE people. I mean, no matter what they put out there, they're gonna find something.
Well,
those
Bobby,
particular
here's
fans, like,
Bobby, here's a crumb of comfort for you, and this might cheer you up a little bit. In the history of professional wrestling, very rarely, if at all, has one stupid match killed a promotion.
Good point.
See, now I made you happy. That's how that music came out. Anyway,
I don't know how that. I don't even know why that played. That was my other phone. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
your other
playing it on
phone
his own.
Knew you were happy, and it played that song for you. And that's how
wow.
I roll. Anyway, the thing is, we have seen so many stupid, terrible matches on TV, particularly WWE television, okay? We've seen some lousy, boring, stupid, unnecessary matches. But none of the only match that ever came close to outright killing a promotion was the finger poke of doom. Okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
WCW lived for another year and a half after that happened. And the only reason that they died is because they didn't course correct. They tried to course
right.
correct, but they screwed it up badly because they brought in the idiot Vince in order to do it. So
yeah.
the rest, even if Tony Khan lets DDT have one of their goofy-ass matches on national television, or even if they do it on Dark or Dark Elevation or something, it's not going to kill AEW because they're not going to take the fans' intelligence and just completely wipe their ass with it and shove it in our faces. Tony Khan comes off to me as smarter than that. So for your comfort, Bobby, that's I give to you the finger poke of doom. That's how you kill a promotion, and I don't think Tony Khan's going to do that. Not with
and
DDT,
WWE.
Not with
WWE survived the Katie Vick thing.
That's true, too. I wasn't thinking about that.
Okay.
Didn't want to think about that, but yes, that's true.
Can I ask y'all a question? That is one of the that is one of the moments that I missed.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I
don't even
the
know
Lord
about
that.
I can't
we got a couple
though.
Of
I mean...
extra minutes. We got a couple of extra minutes. Before we go to the next segment, can you? Because we
know.
Probably we answered all we can on the subject. But what the heck is this Katie Vick thing?
Okay, the Katie Vick thing. They had an angle with Triple H and Kane, and Kane supposedly killed his girlfriend, who was Katie Vick. Well, Triple H dressed up like Kane, and they had this fake mannequin Katie Vick in a coffin. And Triple H, pretending to be Kane, basically crawled in the coffin and had sex with Katie Vick's dead body on TV.
It was horrible.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
wow.
And the FCC.
Are you
yeah,
serious?
And the FCC
yeah, I mean,
didn't fine a soul.
No, was surprising.
Ball was not
like,
thrown off the air for that. That shit actually happened on a coast-to-coast hookup. On cable, they showed that, and nobody got fired, nobody got fined, nothing happened. because it was the Attitude Era and nobody cared.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting. It was bliss. It was probably worse than Val Venus's Choppa Choppa Your Pee Pee.
Oh, by far.
What?
By far.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Don't tell me you've never heard of that one.
No, I remember that one.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
If you said
it was worse than that?
Yes.
On Monday Night Raw, when your rings are at his best, you see Triple H having sex with a corpse.
Yeah. Yeah, and the FCC said nothing.
Yeah, because they ain't making the money they were making back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about DDT killing AEW with some crappy gimmick match. If Monday Night Raw is still on the air after showing like the faux necrophilia, then you can get away with pretty much anything on TV.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at that. Can I look this up? Probably don't have it on Peacock.
YouTube, I swear. Yeah.
It's gotta be on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh yeah, should be.
Okay. I will give you my reaction next week.
Yeah, we are not humping your leg, and I mean that in the worst possible way.
My God, no.
No, it's grisly.
Oh.
It's grisly as grisly can get.
Oh my God! I remember hearing it before, and I was like, I don't remember that, but oh well. And then it just disappeared. And then I never heard it again. And then that reminded me. I've always wanted to know what the hell happened with that. So I got to see that.
It's one of those things that all you got to do is say the words and you know exactly what we're talking about. Last Battle of Atlanta, Montreal, Katie Vick, Pepper the Dog. You know what we're talking about.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those bywords.
Oh, wow. Oh. Well, the mastermind is learning something today. What the heck? Triple H? Really? Oh. Wow. All right, let's go on to our next section
Please.
I'm about to become dead over that. that was wrong. That was too subtle.
Believe me, I've been trying to forget that for a long time.
Oh, my God. I came up with a section, and I wanted you guys to comment on it and tell me, is the mastermind right, or is the mastermind crazy as hell? And I came up with a subject where I came up. Oh, that's true, too. that's probably more true, to tell you the truth.
Well, now it is.
Honestly, I came up with a list of it was top eight lists that should get respect, and I got top eight women that should never ever enter a ring again. I mean, that's even including putting on the finger or getting married. No type of ring whatsoever. Okay.
You would be surprised that Bailey did not hit the top of my list for that.
Well, you know what? They got. It's obvious ones, okay? I know you would say Becky Lynch. I didn't include Becky Lynch. I know you would say Becky. I didn't include Becky. I know on the side of who would we keep, we know Charlotte Flair will be one. That's just a given. We know Sasha Banks will be another. We know Naomi will be another one. You know what I'm saying? So those are givens. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Britt Baker, of course, would be a given, you know? I picked nine that needs to get more respect than what they already than what they're getting.
That's how I did my list. I didn't pick like the nine obvious. I picked the eight out. I picked like the ones that need to be booked better and get more respect than they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that was my idea as well.
So, tell me if I'm crazy, okay? I'm starting with the ones that should never, ever, ever, ever get in the ring again. It goes down from actually 8-1. One is the most important. 8 is kind of like last on the list. All right. Start off with number 8 was Big Swole.
Okay.
At the state she is now, she needs to go a little bit more. I think she needs to get a different trainer. I think that she needs to really stop throwing the race thing in there when it's obvious in that one it is not the race thing. There are plenty of times where we can point that out, and we got plenty of examples, but that just wasn't an example. I just think that she has the most potential to get on the right track and be one of the ones that should get more respect, but she got a long way to go. So that's number 8. Number 7, Riho. I'm sorry. Two pounds soaking wet, and she's supposed to be fighting somebody like Jay Cargill. If I ever see another match, when it goes against Jay Cargill with these skinny pretzels. No, sorry. Riho, don't know.
I 1,000% agree with you on Riho. If she's not on my list, I think I blocked her out.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, number 6, Dana Brooke. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I don't. This character she playing, I don't know what she's doing, or, you know, she got jungle fever. I don't know what the heck's going on with her. It's just dumb.
She just glad to be on TV. That's all. She just glad to be on TV.
And she from what she used to look like, she now looks like a stuffed dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because
she used to be a character.
Yeah, I thought
I know.
She was decent. Right.
She needs to go to Plastic Surgery Anonymous and stay there for a while because that's bad. All right, number 5, Penelope Ford. I don't even know why she exists. Honestly, I have not seen a good match from Penelope Ford since I've watched her. And I'm sorry, her gimmick is terrible. Now, if she came back as another one and wrestled a lot more, I probably would like her, but she would only fit in one category, and that's that spoiled rich kid.
Well,
I can see her in that role.
Does Penelope Ford really have a gimmick besides I screw men that have bad in their moniker?
Because are you saying that's a gimmick?
Apparently, because she's done it twice. She was with the bad boy, Joey Janela, and then now she's with super bad Kip Sabian. So is she going to move on to big bad Leroy Brown next? Because that's in his name. I mean, that
I think she's already been there, but, you know, no.
Well, maybe. But that's not the point. I mean, Penelope Ford, I think the reason that she is what she is because she's a valet that can get in the ring and have mixed matches. I think that's what her value to the game is. When you get beyond that, she can do the splits and she can do some other stuff. And, you know, I respect her as an auxiliary, but other than that, she is kind of.
I'm glad you're so positive.
Well, she's on my list, too, because it's her match is painful to watch. Nothing to do with her gimmick at all.
Yeah.
Her match is just painful to watch.
Yes, very painful.
She makes the people in the ring with her look worse.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Definitely. Definitely. I can't. Yeah. She's number 5. Number 4, Maryse. Sorry. Yeah. Never, ever, 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 ever again. I don't care if she's married to the Miz. She becomes the Miz through surgery. I don't care. No. Never, ever. She'd be in a
Well, I mean, she was in the business, like, wasn't she wrestling before she got together with the Miz, and that's just kind of where she glommed on?
Her and Miz met with
the
Jordan Diva search. No, her and Miz met during Diva search. I don't know if she did it in wrestling before that, though, but when Miz was hosting Diva search, and she was a contestant on it, that's how they ended up meeting.
Okay. So
didn't Miz have a group with her, Layla, and somebody else on something like that? What's the name of his gimmick for a little bit? Like, you say, like their manager?
I don't know. That's something to look up.
I can't remember right now.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So basically, the Miz's Diva search was his version of The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And this is when Miz wasn't even a wrestler. Like, this is where he first started. I mean, he basically sucked. It's like, of all the people in the WWE, you latch on to the real world?
Yeah.
But hey, work for it.
But number four, I don't see any technical skill from her at all in the ring. Number three is going to be controversial. And I'm sorry, I don't like her. And that's Carmella.
Oh, okay.
I don't like her. I do not like her. And when you will understand how much I don't like her.
No, I'm on board with that. Carmella is a one-trick pony, and the trick has been worn down to the nub. So the magic act is long since expired. The girl can moonwalk and she can do the splits, but that's about all she can do.
And Corey Graves would disagree with you.
What's that?
I said Corey Graves would disagree with you.
Probably.
Corey Graves should be lucky he's even on a microphone. Let me start on that dude. I don't even like that dude. After what he said about Booker T, nah, dude, we got no love for you whatsoever.
Well,
period.
To be fair, Corey Graves has the ability to see Carmella in a different arena, shall we say. So that's why he's her biggest.
They can record that.
God forbid. But anyway,
that's wrong.
I'm on board with that because Carmella is played out. She's a better valet than anything else. She's a heat magnet, or can be one, but in the ring, not too impressive. No.
No way. No whatsoever. Number two. You know it's got to be one or two people. Which one do you think it is?
I think Ty Conti and then the Bunnies won.
Does everybody agree with that?
I think Bunnies won, yeah.
Now, run this down for me again. Who's number two?
No, it can only be two people.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry. It's probably Ty Conti.
You guys know me very well. That is exactly correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How can a wiggly woggly fire breathing air waving man can wrestle a girl who is a brick house? It even remotely make it look like it's competitive and believable. Can't do it. I'm sorry. If this was the hood and Jay Cargill was walking down the street and you see little Ty Conti skipping up and down like it's La La Land and they got into a fight, Jay Cargill is knocking her out. Period. Done. over with. It's no ifs, it's no ands, it's no, well, maybe she will get to, no, it will be straight. You know what word she used? Bam, and she hit the ground. It is over. Why does she get competitive matches? I don't understand. Well, I understand why, but I don't understand, honestly, how is she getting competitive matches as small as she is? Her and Riho? Okay, I might could see that. But that's the only person that I would see her in a competitive wrestling match with. It's Riho.
It's because Ty Conti has that blue belt in Brazilian Taekwondo or Jiu-Jitsu,
okay,
or whatever it was. But she's got mad skills in one particular area of fighting, and they want to highlight that. That doesn't necessarily mean it's
particular area, but it's not necessarily fighting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily what she it's not necessarily what she's bringing to the table in a professional wrestling sense. It's that.
That's just wow.
Wait,
but you're right. But you got a point, yo.
Let's hit the number one rant.
No, dear Lord,
yeah,
here
you
it comes.
Yeah, you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the person that should not be in the ring whatsoever, my number one draft pick, the greatest of all time in this category, the person that I would pay not to see, the damn bunny. I'm sorry.
Poor Allie.
Oh, God. Why does she exist? She is like... Orange Cassidy is to Jim Cornette is what the bunny is to me. I can't. Oh God, I'm sorry.
But
wrestling,
those facial expressions—that's one of the reasons, right there. That
who
that
cares? Look at a mannequin.
Stare.
I don't want to see that. No.
I'm not putting up too much of a fight here, but I'm just saying that the reason they put her on TV is because she can pull off that creepy look, and during that street fight when she was bleeding from the forehead profusely, she did the same thing with her eyes, and that was scary.
The only thing that I can say she did, the one match, I will give her was that match. All the other 160 times that I had to see her on TV and the one time I had to deal with her in person, no. No. Never, ever, 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 ever. I don't care if you got the butcher, the blade, the marmalade maker, the person that turns the butter. I don't care what you got. You do not bring her into a wrestling show. Period. That, oh, God. I don't even know how a match could go. Like I said, her and Riho, I can see that. But guess what? I'd say Riho would win that match because she got more skills than she does. That's how bad I think she is.
I would take Riho over, buddy. I agree.
Well, see,
you know?
I'm a Riho actor. I'm a Riho apologist here. So she's been wrestling since she was nine.
Me too. I apologize. I left her off my list.
No, she is a the reason I like Riho is because number one, she's different, very different, and number two, every match
she
looks
like a
13-year-old
girl.
Well, no, it's not about the look. It's about the fact that she is an underdog in every match, and the fact that she has a smaller than normal frame means that she can do physical things in the ring that a lot of the other women can't. It's when it comes to women's matches, I like to see flexibility, and Ruby Soho has that too, and she's not a big girl either. So that's why I'm willing to overlook some of the more bubblegum aspects of Riho. Yeah, she dresses like her shoe size, not her age. But there are certain things that she can do in the ring that nobody else can, and I appreciate that.
I never looked at her like that.
No, still don't.
I got to admit, I never looked at her like that. I might have to revise my list now. That's messed up.
Well,
so you left a couple names.
You are right.
You left one name. You left off one name that I'm really surprised about. Well, when we get to my list, we'll hit that one.
Uh oh. Okay, let's go with your list on the ones that should never be in the ring again.
All right, my bottom three. I'll admit my bottom three is gonna be controversial, but this is my list, and I don't really care. Coming in number eight is Becky Lynch. She sucks on the mic. She's overrated in the ring. I can't stand her. I would go the rest of my life and never see that woman in wrestling again.
Okay.
Next up is the other B. The other B, Bayley. I've actually enjoyed the last, like, several months with her not being on TV. Never liked Bayley, never did. If she never comes back, I'll be happy. Number seven is going to be controversial. I mean, number six is going to be controversial as well, and I have a different reason for this. It's not really like her in rework because I think she's vastly improved in the ring. But number six on my list is Ronda Rousey. And the reason I'm taking Ronda Rousey and the reason why she's on my list is I don't see how she does more harm than good to the women's division. Like, when she's there, it's just like all the focus is on her. And instead of bringing the women's division up, she basically used the women's division to get over. And where wrestling was at in her first run, the women's division versus where it was at when she left, I mean, I just think they're better off without her. Number five. Now, my list is kind of like, current and, people I don't want to return. And I just never really got into my number five, but it's Angelina Love.
Ooh.
Angelina Love, I think she's overrated. I don't think she's as good as she thinks she is in the ring. When she was a beautiful people, I thought she was like the third best. The only person in the beautiful people who was worse in the ring than her was Lacey Von Erich.
Yeah.
She had a run. She had her forgettable run in ROH, but I think it really kind of did nothing for me that, like, she was the leader of the group and you're not even the best person in the group. You're not even second best. Number four on my list. It's a repeat name. It's a name that came from Bobby's list. Number four on my list is Penelope Ford. And basically, Penelope Ford matches are painful to watch. Like, I just hate watching her in the ring. And like I mentioned earlier, she makes the person in the ring look worse than they are. Now, number three on my list are the Bella Twins.
Oh,
they're the Bella Twins.
I never really thought about them.
You know what?
They're the Bella Twins, so that alone explains itself. Number two on my list is Cameron.
Oh, my. You
the girl's
you know
horrible. The girl's horrible in the ring. She's horrible.
I forgot.
She can't cut a promo. She's horrible in the ring. The only reason why Cameron is not number one is because Eva Marie sucks that bad. I never, ever, ever want to see the redheaded, dumb Bella wannabe in the ring. I don't want to see her on TV. I don't care if it's in wrestling, a TV show, commercial. We don't need to see her ever again. She is just flat out horrible.
You know what? Hold on. I would say this. If it was a flick that she came out with where she was like an action star kicking everybody's ass, I'd want to watch that. Because she got to act her ass off to do some shit like that. She can't do it in the ring.
The only thing I want to see her in is it'll be on Pornhub. If she's not on Pornhub, I don't want to see it.
I don't even want to see that. No. I'm serious. I don't even want to see that. I'll be in the church's pew, saying all of my Hail Marys and not looking at that. No.
I mean, she had everything that Vince looking for, except for her wrestling ability and mic skills. It's like, it's just that's horrible.
She was too fake for me.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like her. She reminded me of that cheerleader that I hated in school. And it's not like heat because you're a good heel or something. It's that I don't want to see you type thing, man. I don't even want
exactly,
you around.
Exactly. Yeah. Like yeah. She's not drawing good heat. She's drawing like change of channel heat.
My batteries will get a workout then. I'm telling you. I never liked her. I never liked her. You got a point. Very good one. Very good one. Any of you other guys came up with a list?
My
list of don't comebacks, don't want to see, were actually kind of short. There's only four people on it. The Bella Twins, don't want to see them again. Eva Marie, obviously, and the number one person, the number one female that I never want to see on a professional wrestling screen ever again is Sable. Sable was maybe because she's Lesnar's woman, I really don't.
Exactly.
I would rather scrape my face across a floor of sandpaper than see Sable try to wrestle again. Because when she got in the ring with anybody but her former husband, who she powerbombed because he allowed her to, she was completely and utterly useless inside the ring, and bringing her back with Lesnar would make her even more irritating and unstandable than she would otherwise. So Sable tops my number one never want to see again. Now, I did come up with eight women that I wish could get more respect, but...
We're going to get into that part in a second. We're going to get that half in a second.
Okay.
Cool. Marcus, what you come up with?
Well, I don't have a list of eight, but I kind of laugh because I feel like Tony stole my thunder a little bit because I was going the same route. So I'm not going to say... I'm not going to say like Cameron, Eva Marie, you all touched on that already. But only thing I'm going to say is I just got to totally disagree with you about Big Swole. Big Swole wrestling game is doo-doo, okay? She is horrible. She has no potential. I mean, I think the only reason she got on TV because she said her and Tony Khan used to smoke weed together. Okay, I think that's the only reason she could have been on TV. She absolutely sucked ass. Okay, I hope to God I never, ever, 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 ever see her again in a wrestling ring.
Wow. I think she has some potential.
Oh,
I think she has some potential. She just has to get out her own way. I see something.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what, but okay.
I know I see strange things, but I'm telling you, it's just something about her. I see something that could happen with her if it was under the right direction. And
well, she's got a unique look. She has a very unique look, and it's very marketable. She just needs. She needs a whole lot more polish, and she needs a different style, I think, because what she's doing right now is definitely not working.
Right. I agree with the new style. I do agree with the new style.
I think if she came back,
knowing some technical moves, really get a technical style behind her. I think as she calms down, instead of trying to be this, I don't know how to describe it, but what she is, I think she would gain a lot more, and I think she could pull it off, honestly. But somebody needs to sit down with her like a Daniel Bryan and show her that.
I think she should be more like Keith Lee.
Yeah,
I'm talking
and only other person. Yeah, and the only other person I have on my list that nobody's mentioned is Nikki A.S. It's time to go.
Nikki A.S. Y'all came to defenses about them. Let me come to defense about Nikki. About Nikki. I understand why people might feel this way if they only seen her in WWE. Okay, I've seen her in other places. Nikki can actually go. Nikki got some skills. I'm telling you right now, if they let Nikki wrestle the way she can wrestle, her and Natalya would bring the house down. She is a talent that they have told don't wrestle like that because you're small. They tried to do it to Daniel Bryan. The only thing is, Daniel Bryan had more exposure, so Daniel Bryan had more people that knew he could do that technical, and that's why he got that push from the crowd like he did, and then he got over like he was supposed to. That's the only reason. Nikki didn't have that. Nikki had probably a quarter of his viewers looking like, God, dog, this girl's cold. So she didn't have that type of bargaining power with WWE. Nikki can go. And then when she came, I was so happy because I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be cold. And if I'm telling you, mark my words down. If Nikki leaves, she's going to be one of the top women wrestlers, top three out there. If she goes to a promotion like AEW or whatever, because they're going to let her wrestle the way she can wrestle. And you're going to be looking at her like, what the hell did WWE do?
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Not only, of course, if Tony Khan stopped booking, I had to throw that in. I had to.
Wow.
There you
go.
That was a
layup.
There you go.
You left that wide open. That was a layup for me.
No. To tell you the truth, though, you're right, though, on that aspect, because Regal knows how she can wrestle. Regal would let her wrestle the way she can. I'm telling you, Nikki's bad, man. And I don't know if she just said to hell with it because I'm getting paid a lot of money or what, but I'm telling you straight up, that girl can go. And it's a shame of what they're doing with her, man. It's a shame.
Yeah, well, I think it'll work for it. Okay.
Yeah, Nikki's one of mine that you just see and you see the WWE ruin somebody. I think that's the kind of disappointments you get when you get used to the independents, and then you see a lot of these guys that you've seen in the ring, you know, before they got big, and then what they do with them once they get up there, it's like, why? You know,
because they want to fit the mold.
If you look back to the old days of the NXT, you saw it there too. The way they wrestled in NXT on WWE programming, and when they got called up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they want them to fit the mold of the program instead of molding the program to fit their talent. It's bass-ackward how they're doing that.
Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah, and they do all it
right,
to everybody.
So, oh, yeah. So, now we're on the part about... Okay, let's save the second half of this list for next week because we're at 5:04. I didn't even know we went that long on that one. Good Lord. Yeah, we'll save the second half of the list for next week, so tune in for that. I want to hear what everybody thinks on the coming up, the people that's getting
the positive side.
Props or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next. This was a subject that you came up with, Tony. Bianca Belair. T- Tony.
Yes. All right. So Bianca Belair. Is she hurt or is it a work? And why now, if it is a work? I really, because it looks like Bianca Belair was injured by Becky Lynch. She's not going to be wrestling Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. And Rhea Ripley is going to be taking her place at WrestleMania. My heart of hearts, I hope this is a legit injury. Not that I want Bianca hurt. I definitely would not want her to be hurt. But this feels like a work to me, and I don't get why. Like, and Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley could be a good match, but I'm not looking forward to it like I was looking forward to Bianca Belair and the history they have together. Why? And we're like, what, less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania? Why would you make this change now? Like, why would you do it now? Makes no sense to me at all. I'm not a WWE hater. I know there's, like, people out there, typical WWE, and a lot of people out there got their negative stuff they have to say about WWE. I do enjoy it as much as you possibly can. They frustrate the hell out of you, but I don't. Yeah, I just think this is a horrible move, and I think this is really kind of taken away from our women's title match at WrestleMania. Because now, like, less than 2 weeks in, we're going to have a match between, like, Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley with no story behind it whatsoever. You know, Rhea Ripley is going to be fill-in, and we all know Becky Lynch is going to go over. I think I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I'm going to be pissed off if this is just a work and not a legit injury.
Rob, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I just found out about this, like, around the same time that I found out about the DDT thing. From the way that it smells at first sniff, it seems like what happened was that Bianca has got some kind of small injury that is going to prevent her from being part of the match. And so this last-minute injury angle was done to get more heat on Becky for eliminating her legitimate opponent, and bringing Rhea Ripley in last minute is a necessary substitute in order to have a good match. That's the way that it's looking right now. When the legit injury happened to Bianca, I don't know. It could have happened on a recent house show, or it could have happened like a couple of a few weeks ago or something like that. But the way that it looks right now is that Bianca has some kind of minor injury that she has to wait until after WrestleMania to come back for, and this is WWE's bad way of covering up the bad luck. That's how it looks right now, but I obviously can't confirm that.
Marcus, go ahead, because I'm getting my thoughts on this one.
I almost, and I hate to sound like this, but I almost hope she's really injured, because I would hate the thought that they would screw her two WrestleManias in a row like that, and it does get more heat on Becky, because, you know, WWE is notorious for turning legit injuries into a storyline. So that's not surprising at all. I never want anybody to be injured, but I just hope they're not going to do that to her 2 years in a row.
Okay. I don't think a lot of people are going to like what I'm about to say. And I can understand some people that don't. But I just ask for those people who are going to be critical of what I'm about to say. Look at the report card that we have in front of us. And then you say, how could you not think this way? time and time again, we have had gracious, excellent African-American wrestlers that have stepped up and has been in that ring and have been worthy of being a world champion. Big E, which was one of them. They were like, oh, well, he just got it. No, he should have been had that belt. That belt was probably, in my opinion, five or four years overdue. He should have been had that championship. You have Kofi Kingston, another guy that is a very, very talented wrestler, and they should have just had a cruiserweight division just to make him champion. Because not only can he do cruiserweight and fly, he can also mat wrestle and tell a story. You have all these other guys. Almost is getting his push because he's 7 foot gazillion and sounds like a darn roaring lion when he gets ticked off in the ring. Okay, I get that. All right. But if you look at your average height African-American wrestlers, no matter if they're male or female, and I'm just saying this about African-American wrestlers, we could even put in there the more thicker and heavier girls as well, too. And they can outperform somebody that's not skinny, blonde head with big boobs, but their natural talent is out of this world, but because they don't look a certain way. It's the same thing. It's nothing different. The WWE has a problem when it comes to certain superstars getting up there or getting too close up there, and they learn from Daniel Bryan, don't let the fans say too much because then you'll be forced to have it to do something. Their history with these same gentlemen and people that I've mentioned, along with Jazz, who only had that women's title once, they should have had it a lot more than what she did. Oh, yeah, I can go all the way back. You want to talk about popularity when Hogan was around? There's a world champion that should have been Coco Beware. Junkyard Dog.
Definitely.
We can go, keep going in history.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
We can keep going in history to show, you know what I'm saying, this type of behavior. I'm afraid it's not a work. I'm afraid that everybody looked and said, you know, and everybody has done it. I'm sorry. But they look at Rhea Ripley, and you just see money. She is. Rhea Ripley is money. I would never deny her whatsoever.
I can really say they've been dropping the ball on her since they called her up.
Yeah, she's
on it. They have, and I think they realize that, and they're about to rectify the situation coming up now. Because this is going to be an unexpected victory that nobody's going to see. This is going to be that moment that nobody knew was going to happen, and it's going to turn out to happen for Rhea Ripley. And it's going to be a big moment for her, but it's going to give a backlash to Bianca Belair. And I think it's sad. I think it's absolutely sad.
If they
Rhea
do
Ripley
give it to her, I think
winning that
make,
title.
Make up for the Scarlet match.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley is
when she
wrestled
Charlotte, she had a, they could have made her a megastar when she wrestled Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley will walk off with that title. She will do it. It's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And unfortunately, Bianca Belair is going to be a casualty of war. It sucks. But I don't think it's right either. I don't. But don't give me, what is he talking about, the African-American thing? I'm sorry. Like I said when I started this conversation, look at the history. You can't deny numbers. The Rock, okay. Does he play an African-American role? No, he's a Samoan.
Yeah.
We can excuse that. So he's playing a Samoan. He's not playing a black guy. Look how they did, even though I didn't like them, but look how they did B-Fab in them.
I still understand why they called him up. Just to fire him?
Yeah, why did you call him up if you were going to do that to him?
Right.
And like, you want to put more eyes on the firing.
when you're getting up there into that level of Raw and SmackDown, you got some people in their creative that has a problem. I don't even know if it's McMahon. I don't even think it's McMahon. I think he's just going by what he's hearing. Because remember, McMahon don't really, from what we've heard, he does certain things to make you know he don't pay attention to every single talent that's in there. So I don't even think McMahon knows what's going on, because I don't think Stephanie would go for it if she knew. That's one person I think that would step up. But Shane would be quiet just to keep the boys happy. You know, I'm sorry. And if you notice, there's only been a few black agents as well. Devon Dudley, D'Lo Brown, Crickets.
Yeah.
More
crickets. Outside of this too, huh?
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to say this. The way Michael P.S. Hayes acted, you could count him in, too.
No. Well, okay. It is an undeniable fact that World Wrestling Entertainment has a huge, huge problem with relying on and leaning back on stereotypes. They've done it for decades. And they think that is part of the secret of selling tickets in the sports entertainment world. The problem is that in the professional wrestling world, it doesn't so much. Some of us are insulted those stereotypes.
Hold on. Let me say this. I think it did work back in the day.
I think back in the day it did work.
He just hasn't evolved with that to see that it's not going to work now because things are different. I think it sold out places back in the day.
Well, 40 years ago, it wasn't like glaringly obvious that they were trying to do that. Now it was obvious.
I got to agree with you, Albert. I mean, think about it. Every black guy had a headbutt. Okay, you know, I mean, you had the angry Russian. I mean, it was in the '80s. It was absolutely that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was okay. That's I'll give you that one. Yeah, but
when you mention the Mexicals coming out a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I understand that. You do have a legitimate point there. It's what I mean by that is that it wasn't. I don't know. But my statement stands. They've been. It's been a decades long problem that. People have been, the WWE in particular, have been relying on stereotypes. And it's a bad precedent to set, and they need to base it more on in-ring talent and mic skills than they do anything else, because that's how the actual business is supposed to work.
Well, that's true. I don't know. I just think he didn't adjust with the times. I mean, it's kind of obvious by his character he hasn't adjusted with the times, so, you know. But, on to the next one.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I usually go to sleep on Raw. NXT. I go right to sleep after AEW. And SmackDown is where I watch a little bit, and then I get tired of it, I start playing Call of Duty. This week, though, was different. Everything was normal until we got to Friday. I'm sorry. SmackDown stepped up this week. I got to admit, SmackDown was good this week. It shocked the heck out of me. And the top thing in it that got me going was Pat McAfee and the Pretty Boy. I keep forgetting what his name is. The little Latino dude McMahon got under his wing.
Yeah, Austin Theory.
Boy. McAfee?
It's going better than I thought.
McAfee's a natural.
Yeah, he's a hell of a promo. Absolutely.
McAfee's the man. He should have been cussing Peyton Manning up and down the darn sidelines. They might have won for it. God, no. McAfee got some got some cojones. That man,
wow,
I'm sorry.
I must
that was
have
one of the best promos
something.
I've seen out of WWE this year.
Well, I missed SmackDown, so I can't speak to this, but no, I did not see this.
Oh, dude. But McAfee
that
was...
Apology, that apology segment was classic.
Yeah. I mean, he went head-to-toe with Adam Cole in NXT on the mic.
Yeah.
You saw it.
A lot of people don't realize that, though, but he did.
Yeah. All right.
And
they had a good match too. They had a good match too.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. He definitely didn't embarrass himself. He wasn't bad.
So wait a minute. He went against Adam Cole.
Remember that? Yeah. The War Games. The War Games match.
I missed that one.
Yeah, what was it? McAfee, he had Pete Dunne and that whole crew against Undisputed Era. And was it the third War Games or wherever it was? Yeah.
But they also had a one-on-one match, too.
No, I vaguely remember that.
Damn.
I can vaguely remember that. Yeah.
I was scared to death that. I was scared to death that we were having Adam Cole Johnson. I was real worried about that. But it was a really good match, though.
Okay, I got a couple of assignments this week. But
that's hard. Oh, go ahead.
SmackDown kind of was interesting. Brock Lesnar, of course, went crazy. I don't like the forklift angle. That was kind of a little crazy to me, but I did like him walking
like
the ring with the door of the truck.
Well, what I didn't like was Roman being scared of him. I mean, why all of a sudden he's now scared of him? That's what I didn't like.
Yeah, they're going back to the traditional heel with him.
Right, that's what I didn't like.
I didn't like that either. I think that's why Roman kind of got my attention more, because he wasn't that heel that was running. He wasn't that scared. Oh, my God, no. I mean, he was actually, I'm going to find something to get you with, but I'm going to get you tonight. You're going to know that, right? You know what I'm saying? And get him.
And so you got,
why they would do that any different from Brock Lesnar.
Exactly. And not only that, he had the Usos with him. So all three of them are running from 1 million? Come on. See, that kind of... bugged me.
You can have a WWE champion and a World Tag Team champion running from one person.
Yeah, that just irks me. I could see maybe it was Andre, maybe Andre. But other than that, no. Nah.
My thing is, do you see the jabs that they're taking at AEW?
Oh, absolutely.
With the cowboy gimmick. It's all stuff like that. Now, Brock Lesnar was supposed to be this beast. It came out of, he was a WWE superstar. He then went to UFC and dominated, and, this decorated guy that won all these matches against these legendary jiu-jitsu artists. And you got him coming in ready to spit in a spittoon with a cowboy hat on. Sound like an idiot. Sorry. It's not working for me.
Brock Lesnar, like, I predicted what this new hairdo.
Mm-hmm. Like a little like an Atari joystick at the top of his head.
I think it's more. I think it's less of a shot at AEW. It is. Let's not kid ourselves. But I think there's more to it than that. I think they're trying to freshen up and reinvent Lesnar a little bit. Because, I mean, let's face it, the WrestleMania card, aside from maybe one or two matches this year, is looking like a dumpster fire. And the reason that they stepped up SmackDown this past week and probably why Raw tomorrow night is and the go home shows are going to be like out of this world on fire. They're going to throw everything at the wall is because they know that WrestleMania looks like garbage, and they've got two nights of it. So they're trying to do everything that they can to gin up some kind of interest in this in the weekend, because if they don't, then you know the casuals are going to eat it up like soup, but the rest of us that are longtime fans are going to like sit on WrestleMania and fart on it because it's looks terrible even on paper. So you know, it just I can see why they're doing that with SmackDown and why they're putting their best foot forward on TV right now, but once we get to WrestleMania, it's going to fizzle. And that's I see that as why they're doing this.
Good point. The card is something we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about the actual Saturday card at WrestleMania, and then on the Sunday podcast, we're going to talk about the Sunday card and the results from the Saturday one. My thing is, he's got a point. I don't see any match that really got my attention, especially Bianca's out.
Yeah.
You know, Bianca's out. I'm like, what is it? Nikita Lyons going to be on there? Okay, cool.
Yeah. The only thing I want to see is AJ and Edge. That's the only thing I want to see.
Yeah, Edge and AJ. That's the only match I'm interested in.
I think that's going to really steal WrestleMania. I don't think the Brock Lesnar match. Well, again, we'll talk about the card later. I was going to start, but nah. We'll talk about that now in the next week's show. But
we're going to do Lesnar Reigns on the next show.
No,
they're going to be the show after that.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, what we're going to talk about tonight on the Brock Lesnar Reigns tip is. Everybody's promoting this thing to be the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. That's how they're promoting it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be that Big Daddy. Do you think it's going to live up to that hype? Tony, go first.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I think of the greatest, like, biggest WrestleMania matches, there's a couple of different ways that go with this. And I have, like, four matches that come to mind. So my two matches I think is all-time best for WrestleMania, Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3, without a doubt, and obviously HBK and Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. That was a phenomenal match, and I was fortunate to see that one live.
Me too.
If you're going from a hype standpoint, Austin Rock, the first time, I think was bigger than this. It's going to pain me to say this, and I'm kind of getting a tear in my eye to actually say these words. But the biggest wrestling match of all time in WrestleMania, as far as hype go, and for what it did for the business, Andre the Giant. That man at WrestleMania 3. I don't see this being on the level of Hogan Andre. I don't see it being on the level of at least the first two Rock Austins.
No.
And it's definitely not going to be a match like Savage Steamboat or Undertaker or Michaels. It's just like, and those are my top four. I think there's probably other matches I would put ahead of like Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. I think one thing that hurts them is the fact that like they're building this up as to being the biggest match ever. After John Cena and The Rock was the biggest match ever, 2 years in a row. I just don't see it with them. Them calling this the greatest match ever is like them calling John Cena the greatest wrestler ever.
Good point. Rob, go next.
Absolutely, positively, hell no. Okay? There is no way ever that Lesnar Reigns is going to be big. I mean, Tony just got through listing a lot of matches that are higher impact that you could list as the greatest WrestleMania match of all time besides Lesnar versus Reigns. And that's not to say that this match doesn't have the potential to be good and that it doesn't have an impact now because it's the best match that they can produce at this moment. But it is a far, far cry from the classics. And even recently with the hype around Rock Cena 1 and 2, and even the hype around Lesnar Undertaker when the streak was finally broken. And, you know, even compared to that, Lesnar versus Reigns is not that big of a deal, especially since we've seen it already. The only difference is that this time we're going to get the finish that Vince McMahon wanted originally rather than the finish that was demanded by the fans. Because you remember that people were ready to riot at Mania when they thought that Roman was going over in that first match with Lesnar, and then they changed the finish to where Lesnar walked out with the belt. Because, you know,
yeah.
Roman was supposed to be a huge baby face and everybody was booing him out of the building. There would have been a riot or a mass walkout if Lesnar had lost that match. But this time, now that our gag reflex for Roman has been taken away, that's the finish we're probably going to get. I would be really shocked if Brock wins this match.
I would.
It's the best match they can put on right now, but as far as the whole history of WrestleMania goes, it doesn't even come close. I mean, Roddy Piper and Bret Hart from WrestleMania 8, which was a fantastic, classic title match, I would consider to be a greater match in and of itself than Lesnar versus Reigns. It's just not there.
And the other thing, too, real quick, though, is, like, I think by them saying it's the biggest wrestling match ever, they spend a month for a letdown. Do you guys, I mean, was it like Orton and Edge when they had a straight-up wrestling match? Was that the one they built as the greatest wrestling match ever?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you almost setting up, you're just setting up the expectation for a letdown.
True. Marcus, go ahead.
Well, once again, a lot of my points have been taken already, so I won't repeat. but saying this is the biggest match of all time, this is as bad, or even as well as bad as them continuing to say Ronda Rousey is the baddest woman on the planet after getting her ass kicked in her last two fights. I don't know why they keep saying that. But not only with the matches that both the guys have mentioned already, I would put in Hogan. Warrior as a bigger match.
Hogan Warrior was a bigger match, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I would put in that. And then the match, the glaring omission to me, is WrestleMania 1, the thing that kicked all this off. Hogan T, Piper Orton. Piper Orndorff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the match that made WrestleMania, that sold WrestleMania. I mean, and like Robert, I was going to say, how many times have we already seen Roman and Lesnar already? With the letdown, I mean, I thought the Orton Edge was a really, really good match, but the greatest ever? Oh, absolutely not. No. So they said there's been several bigger matches. I know McMahon has to sell 200,000 tickets for both nights, but not even remotely close. No.
The funny thing is, they call like Orton as like the greatest match ever, and I don't think that made anybody's list for like greatest match of the year.
All right. And then how can you say it's the greatest match ever before it happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's subjective for every fan what the greatest match of all time is. I'm still of the opinion that the Chi-Town Rumble match between Steamboat and Flair was the greatest.
Oh man!
I've always said that was the greatest pure example of professional wrestling on the face of the earth was that match. But
you know what's amazing? They both said they've had better matches than that. That's what's amazing to me.
Those matches never made television. The only
I mean, they wrestled so many times at house shows, but yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. And the point, and all of that is subjective, but even from an objective point of view, the decline in WWE's quality of main event and the impact of those main events has declined. And it's because of all the problems that we've mentioned beforehand. And there's just no denying it. I mean, if Lesnar versus Reigns were happening for the first time this year, maybe you could mention it in the same breath as Rock Austin. But right now, it's been overplayed. Lesnar has been overexposed. So has Roman Reigns. And frankly, as a longtime fan, I don't care. If I were 11, 12 years old, yeah, I would care about Lesnar versus Reigns, but I just don't.
And here's
Wait. I'm sorry. If I was 8 years old, I wouldn't care about this.
Well, you were a sophisticated child, Bobby, so that makes sense.
It's not being sophisticated. I love wrestling, but this wouldn't even got my attention. Flair would have got my attention.
Right. But here's another thing. I don't understand how they can say that when you look at all the matches we've mentioned. Roman or Brock, they have not and probably would never be bigger stars than Hogan, Warrior, Cena, you know, all the guys we've mentioned already. They're not bigger stars than them anyway. So I can just see it's probably 10 guys you can mention that are bigger stars than Roman or Brock. That's a lot of WrestleMania.
It's because the brand is more influential than the individuals now. Back in the day, the company rested on the stars. Now the quote unquote superstars rest on the institution of the company. Again, Bass Ackwards.
But see, that's what McMahon has wanted from the get go. You know, every corporation wants that. Every corporation wants their workers to be interchangeable, because once somebody gets too expensive, and it goes over what they want to pay, they'll find a way to get rid of them and get a lower paid person in there.
Yeah, Hogan.
It's a rotation.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
Hogan
it's
was the first. He was expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, he was expensive for that time. But he got on the exposure he needed to get him more money and more money. And then, guess what? I don't care if you go to WCW. I'll ask you. You've already made enough money for me. I'm cool. Bye. I got 12 of the interchangeable parts that's keeping everything up right now. Gone. And from that 12, he grew to 50. And from that 50, he grew to 100. He has interchangeable parts to where it's like, you were used to my name. You're going to watch because of my name. You're not going to watch because of these guys. You're going to watch because of my name and what I've built.
For the same reason people drink Coke, not because they love it, but because they're used to it. And that's a problem with a lot of things in our world today. We just we consume them because they've got a name, they're popular, and they're institutions, and institutions get lazy.
And institutions fall when they get lazy.
Yes. Yes.
I honestly think we're seeing the end of WWE right now.
Well, I don't think we're seeing the end of WWE. We are seeing the end of the monopoly of WWE. That because of what AEW and NWA and New Japan are doing, the monopoly is dead because of the co-op that has formed. What I think is going to happen is that WWE is going to be sold. The McMahons are getting out of the wrestling business. My timing is a little bit off. I thought it was going to happen like at the end of last year that they were going to announce this. But within the next 2 years, I'm convinced that Vince McMahon is going to sell his baby to either Fox or NBC Universal or GE, one of those three, depending on who wins the bidding war. Because I think I underestimated how bad Fox wants the whole enchilada when it comes to WWE. They don't just want SmackDown, they want the whole thing. So I think there's a bidding war going on between Fox and NBC as to who is ultimately going to buy WWE. But WWE is still going to exist as an IP, but they're not going to be owned by the McMahons anymore.
My thing is, when you look at that battle right there, Fox is going to win out. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Fox is going to win that one. They've already been in the Republican Party. I mean, it's just them and Fox. They're going to wait till USA deal is up. Raw's coming over to Fox. Everything's coming over to Fox. NXT is coming over to Fox. I mean, it's just a given. Unless
really?
Vince dies before that gets a chance, I just see Fox News just buying all of it.
You know what? I'll put my money where my mouth is here. I'm betting that NBC Universal, because they've got Peacock already, is going to win the bidding war and is going to buy WWE. I think they're going to outbid Fox. I will bet you a steak dinner on that.
I don't. Okay. I'll take you on that one because I just don't see.
I think
my reasoning is because of what I've seen Linda and Vince do. Linda just basically worked for the Republicans. You know, she's high up in there.
Well,
he's not going to have her stuff on a program to where it's a liberal organization running it.
Well,
money
Peacock
does talk,
has already got the library, so.
Well, they got the library, but they could all. I thought they just licensed it. I didn't think they bought it. See, licensing and buying is two different things.
Well, that's true, but why would you license it if you weren't interested in the whole company? I mean, WWE Network didn't really draw a profit while it was operating, and that's the only reason that they licensed it to Peacock in the first place. But why get in bed with General Electric if that's as far as it's going to go? I mean,
if you remember, Fox wasn't interested at the time. Fox was not interested at the time. It was just NBC because they had Peacock. Saturday night's main event, and they had a relationship with that on it that would be nice to have on it. Fox wasn't even interested at the time. Fox was actually pissed that they sold it to Peacock. I don't know if you remember that. Fox was mad at them because they're like, why do they have Peacock? Why is your content going on Peacock? You could have sold that to us. That was their exact words.
Well, yeah, but there's a previous, as you pointed out, there's a previous relationship there. So Vince may trust NBC with his baby more than he does the Fox Corporation. So that still stands. I'll still put a steak dinner up against NBC Universal ultimately buying WWE. I'll make that bet right now.
Okay, I'll take you on that bet. I'm sorry. I think Fox is just gonna do it, and it's gonna be all Fox running everything. People are sleeping on them, but it's. I think Fox is gonna pull it off. Fox or Disney, either one.
We'll see.
Marcus, Tony, you want any on any of this?
Marcus, who you taking, Fox or who you taking, Marcus? Fox or NBC?
Probably, I guess Fox.
I mean, Fox. Yeah. Gotta see Fox.
They got the money right now.
Fox. Yeah, it's actually got the money right now.
So I'm going to owe three steak dinners here, not just one.
You know, if I was an indie with you guys, I would want in on that bet.
well, this doesn't necessarily happen. This doesn't necessarily have to happen in Indy. I mean, I would make a trip to Chi-Town for a steak dinner, even if I'm the one buying it. But that's still, I'm going to owe three steak dinners if I lose. So I'm really pulling for NBC Universal here.
But I'll tell you what, I
you
didn't
win.
Also.
You get three steak dinners.
Oh, you win.
Yeah.
So you got an advantage. You get to take advantage, buddy, if you're right.
Right. I mean, that's like 3 weeks. That's like 2 weekends of steak dinners.
Yeah. Well, see, this is why I don't gamble a lot, because I end up in situations just like this. But no, I'll stick to it. I am convinced that NBC Universal is going to buy WWE if anybody does. So I think they're going to outbid Fox. So yeah, I will stand by what I said. Yes.
I'm gonna even up the playing field, and I'm gonna say next to Robert on this. I'm gonna go with NBC. So it's gonna be two steak dinners versus two steak dinners.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well,
okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
But we need to do a road trip to Chicago, though. Like, when we do these steak dinners, we need to be in downtown Chicago.
Well, yeah. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go El Cheapo and just take everybody out to Steak and Shake for a $30. No, we're talking Exchequer stuff or Flat Top Grill or something Chicago-esque, something nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm definitely in on this. We should just do that as a regular road trip anyway.
That's how I was looking at it.
I'll be down for that. Matter of fact, maybe I can find an indie show one night and, make it a whole thing.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, PRW's up there. Delisa works up there.
Mm-hmm. Freelance pro wrestling is in Chicago. A friend of mine goes to see them and occasionally takes pictures for them because he owns his own wedding photo company and he does freelance work. I'd love to go see Freelance and then go out for steak if I lose.
We might just do that just to do it.
Yeah.
All right,
we might
happen.
Just do that just to do it. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That'll be a trip after our SummerSlam trip.
Okay.
I
said that out loud, didn't I? That was supposed to be a secret.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well. I blew it. Okay. Well, yeah, that's one of the secrets. We're planning a trip to SummerSlam, broadcast from out there. It's going to be fun. That's going to be the end of the
That's going to be a ball. I cannot wait.
Yes. Yes. But, honestly, I don't know. This is going to get pretty interesting with WWE, but no matter what, if USA gets it, I don't think it's going to go downhill. If Fox gets it, it's going to trash. I don't think Fox can handle it. They're just getting the toy.
It all depends on how it goes, though. Like, who's actually, let's say Fox owned it then, but who's going to be the one in charge of, I mean, it's going to be interesting whether it's Fox or NBC.
Well, right now, we are looking at, over the next 2 years, we're looking at a drastic change in the wrestling industry. That's basically bottom line here.
And the crazy thing is, whether you like McMahon or not, can you imagine a wrestling WWE without McMahon in charge?
Yes. Yes, I can.
I'm imagining the possibilities.
And imagine the possibilities of cooperation, like the old days. I mean, Vince McMahon would never do business with Tony Khan, but Fox might.
That's an interesting thought.
Imagine for a moment WrestleMania 40. And one of the matches is CM Punk versus Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Title. Imagine Jay White versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP World Title in Madison Square Garden. And imagine the Royal Rumble with 50 participants and a chance at 4 world championships. Once Vince McMahon has retired and the sale goes through, God knows what could happen.
That would be a true WrestleMania. I mean, that would really be that'd be off the chain.
Yeah, truly the granddaddy of them all, the showcase of the immortals without the hyperbole.
Yeah. That would be something to see. Unfortunately, we won't see it while Vince is around.
Oh, without a doubt, no.
Yeah, not while he's in charge, no.
And that might put him in a grave. If he sells and that happens, that might kill that man.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know what would happen on that one. I mean, I don't even think he would care because he's like, you do it against me.
Well, let's be honest. The man has already made his money. If he wanted to walk away today, he could, and he would, walk away with $50, $60 million in his back pocket, and he would never have to worry about another thing in his life. That's a good position to be in, you know.
I think he'd have a lot more than $50 or $60 million.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking a couple.
He's gonna have more than that.
A couple of billion.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It depends on how much the company is worth overall, and it depends on how much the sale is worth. Because, I mean, Disney bought Lucasfilm for $4.5 billion. So if the WWE's IP is worth anywhere near that, Vince could easily walk away with $5-6 billion from the sale. So
I just don't see anybody paying that much money for it. And I think that's what they want, and they're not getting it. I think they're getting probably around a $2 billion offer. You know, they're getting a $2 billion offer, $2-3 billion. But they're not getting anybody that's going to pay them $6 million for that. They're not. Because that's what it's worth. You want a profit for what you're paying for. So they're not going to pay them $6 million. They want to go for $4 or $5 or $3 or $2. And when you start talking about billions of dollars, I'm sorry, somebody offered me $2 billion and my company's worth $6 million, I won't take that $2
billion.
Well, $2
billion
in Iraq.
Well, see, that's why I'm thinking General Electric, because General Electric might talk them down to $4 billion. Like what Lucasfilm was worth to Disney, they might talk GE into buying WWE for. That's why I'm not thinking Fox, because Fox would probably lowball them because they want to make the bigger profit on the deal, especially if they got a deal with the Saudis, because there's that's in the mix too. That's a long-term contract that Vince signed that whoever buys the company is going to have to live up to. So, there's that as well. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and it's going to be a really, really interesting time. And that might be the way the Chinese curse is, that may you live in interesting times, but it may be Monday Night War interesting times. We'll see.
Well, we got less than a minute left. Guys, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Again, on the microphone, as usual, every Sunday, 4 p.m. right here on the FTW Network. Again, we are getting the video capabilities together, so please pay attention to that. You never know, we might be going to a video channel soon. But again, for Tony Motown Allen, Marcus Beckley, Robert Black, and myself, the Mastermind, Bob Rogers, we do want to thank you for tuning in. Please go on FTW Network on YouTube, subscribe, and we will definitely see you in the future. Next week, guess what? WrestleMania time. Talk about the Saturday show and other subjects, but we'll see you next week. Again, same bat time, same bat channel. You guys have a good one. We'll see you in the future.
You know it's all about life.